Ballas Show on 720 WGN. Let's talk a little bit more about presidential politics. Let's talk about how we, the media, are bringing that to you. Every time we talk about Hillary or Donald, I will get some texts, certainly. Not as many calls, but we certainly get the texts about whether or not there's bias in our reporting. A few weeks ago, I was filling in for Justin Kaufman here, and it was the night that Trump had gone to Mexico and came back and gave his big immigration speech in Arizona. And we ended up carrying the entire speech live. And it was a big debate internally as to whether or not we should do that. Because, you know, if Hillary Clinton was giving an immigration speech, we wouldn't have carried it. But because Donald Trump had gone to Mexico that day, because of the outlandish comments he has made about walls in Mexico and rapists and murderers and everything else, and he had just gone there and then he's making his big immigration speech, we're thinking, okay, well, maybe we do need to carry this. What if something big happens and we're not carrying it? So we ended up carrying it, and it was relatively uneventful. And in hindsight, probably wasn't really worth carrying, but we didn't want to take the risk of there being some real news there that we didn't carry. Now, the next Hillary speech that's an hour and a half long about immigration, we're not going to carry. So where does the bias fall in here? WGN, I'd say we're mostly accused of being biased towards the left, although some hosts would probably be accused of being biased towards the right. I think that the bias is more in the minds, honestly, of the listener than the actual host. I think all of us have a bias one way or another, or somewhat, as straight as we might try to play it. Of course, we have our own personal feelings. And I think everybody on the station tries to portray things as down the middle as they possibly can. But inherently, you have your own feelings one way or another. But I also think inherently, we hear what we want to hear out of our people. Is Fox as far right as it seems? Is MSNBC as far left as it seems? Or is that the persona that we have of them? So everything they do, we filter through that lens. Let's get into it a little bit. Jeff McCall is a professor of media studies at DePauw, and he joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing good, thanks.
What do you think about the overall media bias? When you hear the media bias, because everybody loves to use it, everybody loves to accuse the media and use the media for their own benefit. But boy, that term mainstream media just drives me insane, I guess because I'm part of it, but I just feel like we're being falsely attacked all the time. But I wonder how much of it does have a basis in truth and how much of it is perception.
Well, when you say mainstream media, I can see why you'd be upset about that, because it does tend to lump everybody together.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth noting off the bat here that media bias is a multidimensional concept. There are a lot of factors involved. It's very hard to just say the media is in the tank for the left or the media is in the tank for the right. And as you mentioned, a lot of it depends on the perceptions of the people receiving the information and the lens through which they're viewing things. But you also have to look at the reporters. Because all the reporters and the people in the media, they're shaped by their own attitudes and experiences as well. And I think most people in the media have a touch of crusaderism to them. You know, they want to solve problems, they think they're righting wrongs, and they want to take on the establishment in some regard. So in some senses, that might make them, you know, look like they're more progressive. And also, let's face it, most people in the media are college educated, so they've come from a college environment in which they've taken courses in journalism schools or political science departments or whatever, where the professoriate, for the most part, leans left, and there's evidence to suggest that in voting trends and in the donations they make to political candidates. But overall, I think the main thing here is that audiences should be trying to look for fairness, and I think fairness is possible even with reporters who might have their own attitudes or experiences affecting their judgment, because fairness is a skill. And I think that's the problem with most of the members of the public, is I think they sense that there's not a concerted effort by reporters to be fair.
Yeah. And do you think – so that is the perception, that there isn't a concerted effort by reporters to be fair. Do you think that's accurate, or do you think that's more because I like this one person, if they're being asked a tough question, I don't like that, that they're attacking that person?
Well, it is interesting to note that Matt Lauer took it from both people on the right and left after his commander-in-chief forum recently, because some people thought he was too tough on Trump and other people thought he was too tough on Hillary Clinton. But, you know, I think the main thing here is reporters need to go in and try to explain what they're doing. And the other thing is we need to look at individual programs. You know, you were talking about MSNBC has, you know, the reputation of leaning left and Fox News has the reputation of leaning right. And both of those news organizations, I think, get defined a lot by the high-profile analysts on those stations. Rachel Maddow obviously leans left. Sean Hannity on Fox News obviously leans right. But there are other programs and many of their, you know, beat reporters who do a pretty good job of being fair.
Well, and neither Rachel nor Mr. Hannity lean anywhere. They have fallen completely off the cliff on both their sides, haven't they?
there's that, yes.
Well, you know, you bring up Matt Lauer, and that's an interesting thing because I didn't hear as much heat for him attacking Trump, because even Trump afterwards said now these debates aren't going to be fair because they're going to say Lauer took it too easy on Trump, and now they're going to come at me really hard. And there's a little bit of that that's interesting, too, is what about the reverse – I don't know if this is silly, but the reverse bias. So now Matt Lauer is known as liberal, and he's too easy, so now he's got to be hard on somebody. Or when Megyn Kelly came out so hard at Trump, I think that caught everybody off guard. And now that was a forum where it was all Republican, so it's not like she was one side or the other. But you wonder if sometimes these outlets feel like, well – we better be really tough on people. You know, it was interesting audio we played here on WGN Radio earlier this week. After the whole Hillary Clinton pneumonia debacle, right? She does an interview with Anderson Cooper. Now, I think anybody would say, well, Anderson, he's going to be supporting the Democratic side, right? He's going to lean left. And he's asking Hillary, he's trying to ask her these tough questions, and it was such great audio, and we're going to pull it up if we can play it later. Because everybody passed over the way Anderson asked her the question. Hillary Clinton gave Anderson a scolding after he said, well, do you worry that this plays into the perception that your campaign is not transparent or that you're a liar? Something like that. And he totally like sort of trails off like he's afraid to ask, well, or that you're a liar. And she goes, oh, Anderson. Think about this. Think about it. My whole life in public office and everything. And she steered it right back at Trump. But the way he asked the question cracked me up. Like, he's like, well, I guess I really got to be tough here, but I don't want, you know, people are saying, and it just was interesting to me that I wonder if, especially the reporters on these certain networks where there's going to be the tag of whatever you are, then feel like, okay, well, I really got to sound tough on this because I'm trying to be as fair as I can. So I better ask Hillary a tough question. I better really stick her feet to the fire here. And that's sort of what it seemed like people were saying Lauer did to Hillary Clinton during that commander-in-chief forum.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the thing is, I think reporters need to ask tough questions. And I think they can do that in a respectful manner. But I think, as Tim Russert used to say, you can't make tough decisions if you can't answer tough questions. And I think all these reporters should go after the candidates, presidential candidates, obviously, but even candidates for governor or senator or whatever else, and ask them very tough questions. And I think part of that is you've got to ask them questions that are relevant, and you have to ask it in a respectful fashion, because I think that's one of the things the public responds to and they key in on is when they think that the reporters are asking gotcha-type questions. And we saw a lot of that in the political debates during the primary season, particularly in the Republican side, because a lot of the questions went after Trump. And I think that's why a lot of the Trump supporters felt like he was getting beaten up. And I don't think you're going to find too many people who are going to feel sorry for Trump for the media going after him, because, you know, he's got broad shoulders. He can take
it. Sure. Well, and he dishes it out better than anybody, right? But the interesting thing about
the way to work the media in ways that candidates have not in the past. And even with that, you know, Trump getting all the free media and working the media to his advantage.
While he attacks the media like nobody else, right?
Oh, yeah. But even with all that, there was a report out last summer in the Rasmussen Reports that showed that 49% of the public thinks that the media is out to get Trump.
Well, and I don't think that is outlandish to think that, because I would say that most people in the media probably think Trump's a lunatic. And I think that this is probably – I mean, look at the Washington – I feel like stories I read in social media and the Washington Post and things like that, it depends on how you lump journalists together and the media together. But I feel like Trump probably has been attacked more than any other candidate ever has. Now, I don't know that that's a media bias or just he's made more outlandish comments than any presidential candidate ever, and those are being refuted or spoken out against. I don't know if that's a media bias or just media doing its job.
Well, I think the media has a job to report whatever comments he says, and in some cases they have been kind of off the wall or unpredictable. And that's why he generates so much media attention. You talked about the fact that a lot of media outlets carried his speech live, you know, from Mexico, and that was because it was, you know, so fascinating to kind of see him down there and to figure out what he might say. And if Hillary had gone down there, the speech would have been totally predictable, where Trump's, you know, was not. But Trump has managed to work the media. But I think a real key here for people to try to lock in on is, you know, to differentiate between the analysis and opinion journalism versus the straight reporting. And we have, I think, run into a problem in our nation where there's a blurring of straight news and analysis slash opinion. And that's the one advice I would give to the network news people and the cable news channels and the major daily newspapers. Make it clear what's analysis and opinion, and try to have the rest of the news be straight news. And you don't need to do gotcha stuff for that. You just need to ask responsible questions and report what is really going on out there.
We're speaking with Professor Jeff McCall. He's a professor of media studies at DePauw University. You can follow him on Twitter at prof_McCall with two C's. So he mentioned, let's quit blurring the line between analysis and straight news. But I bet that when Professor McCall takes over a newsroom and institutes these changes, the marketing and salespeople are going to be right behind him saying, well, wait a minute now. Here's the thing. We'll talk about that next. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN.
You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, because you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money.
It's the Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. A few more minutes with Professor of Media Studies, Jeff McCall. He's down at DePauw University. Professor McCall, you were mentioning that, you know, you'd like to see in the media more of a delineation between what is opinion, what is analysis, and what is straight reporting of news. And we don't have, you know, that sounds like, boy, there's the answer, yes. But we just don't live in that world anymore where it's that easy, right? Because it's not three channels with 11 o'clock news and let's just report the news and everybody's going to watch no matter what we do. It's how do we get people to watch when Trevor Noah's doing this and John Oliver's doing that and Fox is doing this and MSNBC's doing that. I think it's so much harder to say, here's how we're going to do it. Viewers be damned. This is the public information we want to get out in the straightest way possible. I think that the way the media has been divided up over this country has made it much more difficult. You know, we can complain a lot about the way media organizations have been run in the good old boy days. But when there were three or four of them and they were all getting lots of money, I think there was a huge separation between the newsroom and everything else. And I wonder if that exists nearly as much anymore.
Well, you make a number of excellent points there, and you're absolutely right. If anybody put me in charge of a major daily newsroom or network television news operation, I would immediately anger everybody in there who is trying to make a buck and whatnot, because, you know, the profit motivation in the big media corporations has really taken over, and we don't have an era like we had maybe in the middle of the 20th century, you know, when William Paley was the chairman at CBS, and he used to flat out say, the news division is not going to be our profit center. We're going to make our money everywhere else. The news is being done to serve the electorate. But the profit centers of most major media operations now is in the news divisions. And, you know, Fox News is a huge profit center. CNN is a huge profit center for Time Warner. And honestly, when you're the profit center for a big corporation, you've got to do whatever you've got to do to get eyeballs. Or clicks, or you know, distribution, and so there is a lot of pandering to the audience, and part of that is giving them what they want, and putting Trump on live, or asking gotcha questions at debates, or whatever it takes to get people into the tent.
Do you think that journalists ask gotcha questions? Was Aleppo a gotcha question?
No, I don't think it was a gotcha question. I could see where, you know, Johnson probably figured he wasn't going in to talk about that, and maybe that was a little bit off of his radar. I don't think it was a gotcha question, but I thought the response of the other people at the table after clearly Johnson drew a blank made it seem like they were making light of his misunderstanding there. And honestly, you could make a case to say that the Aleppo, that he thought the first syllable was an A as an article, and Aleppo was a separate word. But you would think that somebody who's running for president at any level would have some sense of that town in Syria has been in the news for a long time. But, you know, Johnson's probably not going to win or lose votes based on his answer to that, because most of his concerns are on issues other than international affairs anyway.
Yeah, but he's not going to win or lose votes maybe based on that. I would say he might have lost votes based on that. Don't you think there's a lot of people out there very confused as to what to do, people that don't like either mainstream candidate or people that are so disgruntled with who their candidate maybe normally would be that they're thinking about another party? And this is the biggest news that he got. I mean, the unfortunate thing for him is here's his biggest moment in the media spotlight, and it's about how he, you know, screwed something up. And quite honestly, when you hear back the question, the way it's phrase, what would you do about Aleppo, to me does sound like he's talking about some organization, not a
right.
city. That's not how you refer usually to a city. What are you going to do about the situation in Aleppo would have made more sense, and maybe he then understands what he's talking about or not. I don't know, but I do feel bad for him a little bit in that the phrasing of that sounded like, wait a minute, now who's Aleppo? Is there a new one out there I don't know about?
Well, one thing that I thought was quite interesting about that whole scenario was that, and this was information from the Media Research Center, where they said that in the previous 6 months, he'd only had like 12 seconds of airtime on any of the three major network news broadcasts.
Wow.
But that once he made that misstatement, he had 6 minutes of coverage on the major network the big three newscasts within the next 24 hours. And I'm kind of thinking, my gosh, here's a guy who's not on the radar at all until he says something that he wished he hadn't.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the networks jump on that. And that, I think, fuels the people out there who think that the media's looking for gotcha stuff and the media's not wanting to be fair, because fairness would suggest, I think, that he have more coverage somewhere up till now.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, he's on the ballot in most states, or maybe all the states.
Yeah.
And he's polling at, what, 8, 9, 10%? That's worth looking at. Somewhere he needs to be in the network narrative in terms of the campaign, if nothing else, just to get a few senses of his ideas, but also that he could be a spoiler for one of the two major party candidates.
Yeah, and I think if he could get himself to 15%, he'd get a lot of airtime, because suddenly if he could just get himself into one of those debates, then he'd really finally share the stage and have a lot of traction. And you do wonder, I wonder how much social media has carried the day for him, because the networks, the media is not really telling his story, right? But you see it, I see it a lot in my news feed on Facebook, people posting about him. And it's truly, to me, a grassroots organization that just needs that one extra push to get him the national spotlight, to maybe truly give him a chance to, I don't know about be the president, but certainly play an important role in what the outcome is.
Yeah, it's an excellent point, and also the point here that social media helps fuel a lot of the news agenda in this day and age, because we're not in an era where the major dailies and the wire services and the big three networks are the only ones deciding what gets in that news agenda.
Well, just in the last year, I can't remember what the organization was, maybe The Guardian, somebody over in the UK, I heard about their newsroom all being positioned to face these monitors, which showed which stories were getting the most clicks. And they're basing their coverage and what they're going to put in print or next online based on what people are clicking on currently. And that seems like a sad and dangerous way to decide what the news is.
Oh, that's an interesting point. In fact, that's not just happening in a couple of isolated places now. That's happening in a lot of major dailies around the country. You know, Gannett Corporation is one of the biggest owners of newspapers across the country, and Gannett has totally gone in that direction. And they have those big monitor screens, you know, front and center in the newsrooms of their newspapers, so that everybody in the newsroom knows which stories are getting clicks and which ones aren't. And they can also tell how long anybody has spent on any one site.
Yeah.
And obviously, those stories that seem to get the most clicks and the attention are the ones that they're going to keep fueling, because, I mean, obviously it's, you know, giving the audience what they want. And that, on the one hand, I get that, but on the other hand, I still expect that the news organization should provide some leadership as to what is important. And like today, you know, all the news media is in a stir about, you know, whether, you know, Donald Trump still believes President Obama was born someplace other than the United States.
Right.
I'm thinking, you know, that is, on one level, curious. But at a certain sense, it's a sideshow. President Obama is going out of office. Trump is, you know, a major party candidate. And I would think that there are a lot more important things for us to be deciding in terms of, you know, the final election outcome in November than what Trump was, you know, parading around as a birther, 7, 8 years ago.
Yeah. It will be interesting to follow. We'll see if there's any other big bombshells before the election or how the media covers it. It will be interesting to see. What do you have a prediction on how these debates will go as far as the media portion and the moderators? This is more we've talked about moderators in the last year than I can ever remember.
Yeah. I must say, I really wish they didn't use journalists as moderators, because I think the journalists go in, with the mindset of a journalist, and they're more likely to ask gotcha questions and not ask questions that would be based on a resolution that would give each candidate the equal opportunity to try to respond and have an equal burden. And the other thing is, all the moderators go in representing high-profile news organizations.
Yeah.
Like CNN or Fox News or NBC, and they're all out there using these opportunities to be moderators to help brand their networks, to drive people to their programming. And again, it's the big corporate mentality that I think is disrupting the thing. I would rather we get away from journalists as moderators altogether and try not. Now, who do you find that's completely unbiased? Probably nobody. But just for an example, just something food for thought. A retired Supreme Court justice like David Souter, if he'd be willing to do it, he could come in, he could ask sensible questions, nobody would accuse him of coming in to try to promote his own brand or anything like that. A historian, a presidential historian like Douglas Brinkley or someone like that, who could come in and have a little bit more of a sophisticated kind of discussion about key issues rather than to tee up candidates to go after each other and lob grenades and that sort of thing.
Mm. Interesting. Well, that's not what we're going to get this year. We'll see.
Oh, I'm sure we're not going to get that. Well, clearly, I'm living in an ivory tower, but I think it's worth having the discussion anyway.
It absolutely is. Professor Jeff McCall is a professor of media studies at DePaul University, at @Professor_McCall, at @PROF_McCall. You can follow him on Twitter. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us.
You're most welcome.
All right, here's your chance. Tell us, how biased are we? How biased do you think we are, or the media is in general? You can tell me right now, 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN.